Blog Talk Radio.
EOTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move. Reshaping life for a better tomorrow.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Stephen Knight, and you're listening to The Stephen Knight Show. Show here on EOTM Radio. I'd like to thank you again for joining us tonight. We have another great show lined up. As always, we'll be discussing the latest in entertainment news, sports, fashion, and the latest in movie reviews. Tonight, we have an incredible story that I'm honored to tell. Vibe Higginson is here today to talk about how she's impacting the youth through her Gospel for Teens choir. You definitely don't want to miss out on that empowering story. As always, I want you to be part of the discussion, so call in with your questions and comments. The number is 718-664-6543. Again, that's 718-664-6543. And you can join us in chat as well. The link's on our Facebook page. But first, Ms. Parker, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing very well. How was your weekend?
It was good. It was good. We had the award show, the ATL Hottest Entertainment Awards, and you accompanied me to that.
That was fun. That was fun.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. So
did you find out who won the award?
I didn't even. We didn't stay long enough to find out who won because it was getting kind of.
Yeah, it was pretty long. It was probably pushing 6-7 hours. So.
Yeah, so we left, but I figured if I won, they would let me know. I didn't hear anything. But it was a good event. And there are pictures on our Facebook page and on the StephenKnightShow.webs.com. So check them out. What else did you do over the weekend?
Went out, went to a birthday party Friday night, went to the Entertainment Awards with you on Saturday, went and watched the fight afterwards, and just kind of hung out and chilled yesterday, tried to recover.
Yeah. It's Monday, so we're back.
Wasn't so bad, it's over.
Right, we made it to another Monday. Is Chike's not going to be on tonight. He had some things going on, and Janera won't be on as well, but Janera... you can go on budgetshopaholic.com for her latest find. She's updated that, but they both had other things going on tonight. But Stephen, I share our mission is to bring you the latest in entertainment, news, sports, fashion, of course, music. We want the show to be very interactive. We definitely want to hear from you.
Yeah, so make sure to like us on Facebook if you haven't already done so. We want to go ahead and thank everyone who's been supporting us so far. It's almost a year, so we appreciate your support. Yeah, we appreciate your support for real. And we appreciate you checking out the question of the day and leaving your comments and always showing us love on Facebook. So make sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, The Stephen Knight Show, SHO. Each and every Monday we'll post the question of the day and we'll share your opinions and discuss the question of the day on The Stephen Knight Show.
Well, today our question of the day, it's another dating one. It is, what do you, in your opinion, what do you consider dating to me?
I mean, it's weird. You can be dating someone and not dating them exclusively. I think dating is more just a term used when you don't want to say, I don't know, for me sometimes I say dating because I don't want to sound corny. Like, I don't know, boyfriend can be kind of corny to me. And then other times, you know, when I was dating, I just told people I was dating because I was, you know, dating multiple people, you know, going on dates and seeing different people. I wasn't in a relationship with anyone. So it can be multiple things where you're just, you know, you're going on dinner dates, you're meeting different people, you're trying to see where things go with different, you know, individuals, or you can have a boyfriend and just say, yeah, I'm dating someone so you don't sound corny. But I think
usually
it's referring to that you are not in an exclusive relationship.
It was interesting because a lot of people who commented on the question, they said that dating doesn't exist anymore.
It's what?
Dating doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, okay. I mean, it depends on – what was the question?
It was, what is your definition of dating?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess – I mean, it is a dying thing, you know. People don't go on – people definitely don't go on dates and stuff anymore, but I think that's what keeps the relationship. If you're in a relationship, going on dates is important. If you're not in a relationship, going on dates is important. So I think it's an important part of the whole, you know, meeting someone and settling down and all of that. It's an important part of it.
And Deidre, she said something to the effect that it's a way of really getting to know someone outside of the home, outside of the bedroom, but really getting to know someone to see if this person actually a match for me. But make sure you go on Facebook and Twitter and let us know what you think about the question of the day. Now, I know Aaron's on. What's going on, Aaron?
Yo, what's up, what's up?
Hey, Aaron,
doing,
what's up?
All is well, all is well.
What's
new?
Steven,
first of all, man, sorry about, you know, you not winning the award and everything, man, but hey,
that's
I'm sorry. Maybe I'm speaking too soon. Okay. Well, either way.
I probably did, but it's not confirmed.
Okay. Well, congratulations. Either way it goes, man.
Either way. I appreciate that. Right. I appreciate that.
No problem. All right. First off, Falcons, that game was that last call that the Falcons went on the fourth and I think it was like fourth and a yard, if that. I admire the coach for actually going there, you know, but Michael Turner was not the back to actually pull that playoff. Michael Turner is a cool running back, really, really cool, but he's just too heavy. He's too thick, and for that kind of a play, I actually would have actually done a quarterback sneak. Quarterback sneaked it. It was actually less than a yard. Quarterback sneak, get the first down. If you're gonna go for it, actually I would have punted it off. You know, but anyway, it is what it is. The Falcons did not get the first down. The Saints got the ball.
That was a pretty good game.
It was a good game. Oh, yeah, really good game. It was hot. It was really hot, really hot. I wanted the Falcons to win. They didn't, but, hey, it is what it is. Now, with the Redskins up here in D.C., man, it's over. It's over this season. Redskins, I'm disappointed. I knew that they were not good when I went to their training camp. People wanted to hype them up this year because they were like 3-1. So in the first part of the season, oh man, you know, Redskins, real talk this year, real talk. I'm like, yo, these mugs are lazy, man. They're lazy. They have no work ethic. They have no leadership. It's not going to end well. It's not. And I'm right. They're not good. Redskins, sorry, y'all just not good. Anyway, all right, NBA. There's not going to be a season this year. The NBA, y'all, I'm telling you, focus on college and high school basketball. Focus on that. Watch those games. Do not consume yourself with the NBA. It's not worth your time. They are not worth your time. Yes, I said it, and I don't care if anybody doesn't like it. It's a waste of your time. They are. Oh, I'm just so pissed off right now. I am. I'm sorry. And I might say something that might need to get bleeped out, whatever. So I'm just gonna not even go there. But
no.
You know, look, really, F it, man. They are just. Oh man. Oh, okay. It's just crazy.
So have they completely finished the negotiations? I mean, or, you know, trying to negotiate.
I mean, pretty much, man. Because it's the last deal was 50-50 split. And the players don't want that. So I'm like, you know, come on. If you don't even want to meet halfway right down the middle, come on. I mean, the owners are not going to give y'all more than that. That, to me, was actually, I think is generous. I think it's cool, you know. But you know, I don't know what more. I don't know what more it's going to take. So at this point, the season's done. It's over. I think even if they had a season, nobody cares. Nobody will give a two pennies if they have a season or not. For real, I sure don't care. I could care less. I don't give up if they have a season or not. I don't. Now, I have to turn off of sports just for a second, okay? And this is just something that's really just been getting at me lately. Yo, I'm tired of this buffoonery and ignorant stuff that's on TV now, with especially dealing with women of color on these shows, man. I'm tired of it. I'm just really tired of it. I'm tired of all this ghetto, ignorant, make-for-TV, manufactured drama. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the cattiness. I'm just done.
What are you referring to?
L.A. House. L.A. Housewives, Atlanta Housewives, the love and basketball stuff. I mean, love and hip hop. All that. And I'm just tired. It's like the same thing over and over again. It's these women that feel like they have to, you know, get with a man or a man's gonna make them, and they pretty much stop their lives for this dude that really doesn't even want them like that. You know, he's having his cake and eating it too. And then they want to fight each other. These women want to fight each other. It's backwards as hell. It's backwards. I don't get it. It's entertaining, y'all, real talk. It's entertaining, but after a while, it's the same thing. It's like, it's okay to start off being ignorant, but you would think after like season two, season three, that you would kind of grow as a person.
Yeah.
And these women just aren't growing to me. It's like they feel like in order to have their little 5 minutes, they have to show their ass. And that's just not cool. I'm just, you know, come on, please. VH1, Bravo, come on, do something better, man. Let's get something better, man. It's just crazy now. It's just crazy. So,
Ms. Parker, what do you think about that? With all the reality shows and the fighting and carrying on going on?
I mean, I think it's definitely catered to a certain crowd, and I think it's entertainment. You know, I don't take it that serious. I don't think it's that serious. There's a lot of other choices on TV. No one is, you know, made to watch it. So, I mean, I understand where he's coming from, but it's business. You know, they're making money off of drama, and they're not going to change all of a sudden the people reading, you know, reading books and acting. You know, they pick these characters for a certain reason. You know, it's not really reality. You know, they're going to do whatever they need to do to make money. And these women were picked because of how they act. They didn't get Condoleezza Rice or, you know, or Hillary Clinton to be on there. So they're not going to act, you know, professionally or, you know, like they have some sense, because they picked women that didn't have any sense. Because I think it makes me feel better about myself. I'm like, at least I don't act like them. So I don't know. I just think it's entertainment. I don't take it too serious. It is what it is. And
it needs to be a balance, though. That's my whole thing. Like, for, you know, if every three, you know, entertaining, over-the-top shows, can we at least have, like, one show that, you know, that's kind of a little more, you know, a little more real, a little more realistic. And also, mm-hmm. with me working with kids all the time, you know, I'm seeing little girls, elementary age girls that's acting out because they see Nene or, you
well,
know.
I blame that on the parents.
Well, yeah,
there's always been something on TV. There's always been music. There's always been something on television. There's always been people in the public eye that have influenced people for decades that weren't exactly what society chose as role models. But we as parents, people who've had kids, they seem throughout the whole, you know, generations have changed. They put the blame on teachers, on TV shows, on music. No, if you decide to have a child, that is your responsibility to raise that child. There are always going to be different influences out there. But I feel like we blame a lot of stuff on things that parents need to take responsibility for. If her kid is out there cussing and carrying on, guess what? you're doing something wrong.
Mm. You know, it's funny you said that before, because I was talking to my my oldest niece called me. She's 13. She called me today. And we were just talking, and I asked her, is she on Facebook? She said, I'm not allowed to have a Facebook page.
Exactly. But you remember a couple of weeks ago I posted on Facebook that people are allowing their kids 6 and 7, 8, 9 to have Facebook pages.
Yeah.
I saw a little girl in a full-blown grown-up conversation on Facebook. Now, and her mother is on her page. Who does that?
Yeah,
well,
she couldn't have
7 years old?
She's like eight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a grown-up conversation, and her mother is on Facebook. So, to me, that's just like, you're not even trying to raise your child.
Ms. Parker, remember, me and Ms. Parker, one of my other friends, we went to Hooters at the award show on Saturday. And remember the woman that was drunk and her little kids running around over the Hooters?
Uh-huh. She had beers and stuff in her hands while she was holding the baby. The baby fell off of the chair. I mean, I think that's a whole different topic, and I understand where Aaron is coming from. I do understand because I actually major in media, so I completely understand where you're coming from. But to know that, to blame, like, you know, the way these kids are acting on television is not fair. You know what I mean? Because I really do think that we, as generations, you know, as a generation – changes, we've really lost touch with what it means to parents. Because I had a bad time. I had certain TV shows that I couldn't watch. These kids, they put it bad whenever they feel like it. They watch whatever they feel like watching. You know, it's ridiculous.
I feel you. But also, we have to also realize, though, that a lot of these kids look up to what they see on TV, whether it's good or not good.
Yeah,
you know, they look at these people as role models. And It is the parents' responsibility, first and foremost, to let them know, okay, we're not watching this. This is not someone that you should look up to. First and foremost, you should look up to me because I'm your parent, and look up to church and God and things of that nature, and your teachers and whatever. But it is what it is. These kids are on social networking sites. I mean, it's everywhere. And like a lot of times, they can't help it. It's in their face whenever they don't want it to be in their face. Their friends are talking about it, and they feel, okay, if I'm not watching this, then I'm an outcast, or you know, you don't watch that show. Well, then there's something wrong with you, and you look down upon.
You have to keep in mind the reason these shows are doing.
That's all.
The reason these shows are doing so well is because people are watching it.
Absolutely. And you're right, Ms. Parker, they are not going to change until people stop watching it or until people demand something else. You're right. Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right.
All right. Well, Aaron, let me ask you a quick question before you wrap up. I want you to answer the question today. The question today is
hold on. I had a question for Aaron real quick. What do you think about the whole Penn State thing?
Oh man!
You never talked about that.
Oh man! Okay. I should have talked about that first. Oh man! Oh gosh! That's some stinky stuff, man. That's just stink, man. I feel like it's really going to, for the single parents out there, whether it's women, single mothers or single fathers or just parents in general, they're going to question now men who are trying to help young boys. Because the reason why I'm saying boys is because this is what this is all about. It's about inner city young boys that were molested. I just feel like people are going to have second thoughts and reservations now about the next person that wants to try to have actually help these little boys, and the next person could actually be a good person that wants to actually help these kids, but the parents for good reason are going to be hesitant or not want to have their kids involved, and at the end of the day, it really hurts the kids. This whole situation is just sick. And what actually really pissed me off was the fact that how can you walk in on a child being raped and just turn around and just walk away. As a human being, I just, that's what really pissed me off about the whole situation, was that this man walks in the shower and sees this going on and just walks out. And that's nonchalant.
Very disturbing. Very disturbing.
It's disturbing. That was very disturbing to me. I'm like, you're not getting that child. You're not stopping this. You're not calling the police. You're not kicking this old man's ass. But, you know what I'm saying? I think it's sick. I think everybody should. Everybody that knew this was going on and did not call the police, they all need to be prosecuted if possible. Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Because these kids who are now, I guess, men are going to be dealing with this for the rest of their lives. They should be compensated fully as much as legally possible. I think that all their medical bills, meaning their psychiatric bills, all that should be paid for. If, like, these kids want to go to college, they should be able to go to any college paid for. And I would prefer for them, if I was them, to not go to school in Pennsylvania, because to me, the state of Pennsylvania let them down. Totally. Totally. Yeah. It's sick.
Well, apparently I'm reading it now that the coach, he did an interview with Bob Costas, and he said that he's innocent of sex abuse charges, but he shouldn't have showered with the kids.
What grown man showers with kids?
Right.
I mean, okay, people, and this is my thing, people were all flipping out whenever Michael Jackson said that he, you know, slept in the same bed with kids. But this man showers with kids.
He's showering.
He's showering
right.
Butt naked with little boys. Who does that? Who showers with little boys? Who does that?
It's sick.
And to know that this stuff was condoned by everybody in that school, to me, I think they're all tainted. They all have some serious issues. I think that Penn State is tainted to me now. Every time that I hear that name, Penn State, I get a little cringe. You know, It's just sad. It's sick. It's just really sick. So all I can say is, you know, more, you know, God bless the victims and their families, man, and they're going to need a lot of therapy.
Absolutely. So, Ron, let everybody know where they can follow you.
Follow me, Twitter, Ron Cosby 1. I'm actually up to, let me see, y'all, I'm up to 80, hold on, let me see. Let me give y'all the exact quote, the exact total. I'm up to 84 followers.
Uh-oh.
84 followers. Yes, Ron Cosby 1 on Twitter, Facebook, A Ron Cosby, that's A-R-O-N, last name Cosby, just like Bill. And also, please, if you can, follow my cousin, E.J. Holt. He is a military man. He's actually being, he's in training now. He's going to be shipped over to Afghanistan at the beginning of the year. So follow him. He's in the Navy. Follow him, E.J. Holt on Facebook. Appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate you, A-Ron.
All right, y'all. Y'all have a good night.
All right, A-Ron. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. You're listening now. You're listening to the Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. The Steve and Knight Show, Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on EOTMRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Steve and Knight Show. It's Parker. What's going on in entertainment?
Entertainment. First, I want to go ahead and say rest in peace to Joe Frazier and Heavy D. Frazier died a couple of weeks ago, and memorial service was actually took place this week. And
actually, it was right after our show last week. We found that he passed.
Correct. No, that was it. Joe Frazier.
Yeah, it was Joe Frazier.
After our show, okay. Yeah, Muhammad Ali actually attended his memorial, which I think is very kind. I'm not sure how Muhammad Ali's mind is working, but I'm not sure if you know the history between him and Joe Frazier.
Yeah.
But Joe Frazier is pretty still bitter about what went down with him and Muhammad Ali. So even to the day he died, he didn't really have any nice things to say about him. So I'm happy that Muhammad Ali has apologized many times and decided to move forward, and he was at the memorial service. So, and I'm pretty, and you know, watching documentaries and stuff, Muhammad Ali wasn't the nicest guy, but I think it was just all for show. Anyway, so his memorial was this weekend. Rest in peace. He was a great fighter. We lost Heavy D a couple of days ago. They said that he was actually on Weight Watcher when he passed away, that he was complaining about chest pains, and he went to the hospital, mm-hmm. and they thought it was the flu. Then the next day, he was coming back from a shopping trip and passed out in his hallway and died. So definitely rest in peace to him. Condolences to his fans and family.
Absolutely.
We need to just be careful, and you know, you never know when it's going to be your last day. So live your life.
Yeah, exactly.
Mariah Carey lost 70 pounds. Speaking of Weight Watchers, I think she's the new spokesperson. Jenny Craig's spokesperson. She lost 70 pounds. She debuted her new body on Rosie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rosie.
Yeah, Rosie Dawson.
She looks pretty good. Now, we'll say this. Mariah will lose the weight on y'all, and she will put it back on. She's like me. We like to eat. We don't want to lose weight when we need to get in the dresses or make appearances. But congratulations to her. She looks good.
She said 40 of the pounds was just water.
Came off, within a week after she had the babies. And then she said she had to work off the rest of it. So
right.
I believe it. She had a lot of complications, so I'm sure that a lot of the weight had to do with complications that she had.
Yeah.
So the Braxton season 2 started, you know, one of my favorite
mm-hmm.
shows. I know Aaron probably hating me right now, but I do like that show and all the drama that goes on. It's funny because every time I watch that show, I'm like, Tamar has to be a Pisces. Cause I don't know, certain things she does. It reminds me of myself, and I looked her up, and she actually is. So.
Oh, she's a Pisces?
Mm-hmm. And the same thing with Chili. When I was watching that show, I'm like, she has to be a Pisces. And I looked it up, and she was. So I think it's pretty funny. But the show debuted, I think, did pretty well with ratings and things like that. So. Looking forward to the rest of the season. Housewives Kimmy.
Her and her mother got into it.
I like her mother. Her mother's like, you know, her mother's super old school.
She don't play.
I really like her. So, Housewives of Atlanta is back on. I think it's the second episode that came on last night. Nothing really big going on right now that is worth mentioning. But as
Nene's rich.
Yeah, Nene's rich, but we knew that since last episode.
So she's rich.
She's rich, honey.
This lady that we work with, she actually looked up how much the people are worth. Candy, obviously, no surprise, she's worth the most. I forgot how much she's worth, but Nene's worth $3.5 million. Kim's worth $1.5 million. Remember Lisa Wu from a couple seasons ago, she's worth $100,000.
Yes,
I remember.
Okay. Yeah, Lisa is in bankruptcy, so.
Yeah. The woman that works out, I'm worth more than that.
Yeah, because, you know, it includes all of your assets, including your house. So she's worth $100 million. I mean, she probably doesn't even own a home.
That's right. $100,000, even $100 million. Yeah.
Yeah, $100,000, no. You don't even own a home. So, anyways, they're pretty much the broke housewives of Atlanta. I don't know. I kind of find it difficult to even see them as people with money because I watched Housewives of Beverly Hills. And
they
have
the money.
It's almost like shameful. You know what I mean? I'm almost embarrassed that everything these people have in money. One of the ladies on the Housewives of Beverly Hills, her spa in her home is worth $1 million.
Wow.
Just a spa. So.
Well, Nene, she was, didn't she go look at a home that was worth $9 million?
Yeah, exactly. And she can't even afford it. Just fun. But that is just so Atlanta. So, congratulations to Nia Long. She had her little baby boy on, I believe it was last Thursday or Friday. Congrats to her. and her NBA player boyfriend or fiance. What's that girl's name? Is it Kylie or Kyla Pritz? She's announced on
one of six
and partner. She had a baby about a year ago. And I don't know, I still see her as a kid.
Right.
Kind of hard for me to even think that she, but her baby's actually a year old. R. Kelly is coming out with a new book, and he just had voice surgery. He has a new song called Shut Up. I haven't even heard the song, but everyone keeps talking about it. They said it's pretty good, so congrats to him. I hope he's doing well, and we'll see. And the book should be interesting.
Absolutely. He's R. Kelly, you know, to me, he's a genius. He's a genius, and he's actually, you know, they're doing the remake of that movie Sparkle with Jordan Sparks, Whitney Houston, and Kim, and a lot of people are joining the cast. Even Terrence from 106 and Park, he's joined the cast recently. But anyway, R. Kelly's won the score for the movie. I mean, he's a genius. But anyway, anything else in entertainment?
That's all I have for today.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll be talking to Vi Higgins. Right back.
Hype Magazine, a magazine that gives you all kinds of flavor for your entertainment needs. You can purchase Hype Magazine in all major stores, as well as getting it digitally at www.gethypeonline.com. Get your ad in Hype Magazine now and subscribe by calling 1-301-579-HYPE. That's 1-301-579-HYPE-4973. This is brought to you by EOTM Radio and Media.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Vi Higginson is a pioneer in her own right, born and raised in Harlem, New York. She is a recognized black pioneer amongst the city's media elite with a very impressive list of firsts. Now, check this out. She's the first black female radio personality in primetime New York City market on WBLS, the first woman to host a morning show on New York radio, WWRL, the first woman in advertising sales at Ebony Magazine, the first black woman to produce a drama on Broadway with Joe Turner's Come and Gone by August Wilson, the first black female writer, producer, director of the longest-running off-Broadway musical in history of American theater with Mama, I Want to Sing. As founder and CEO of Mama Foundation for the Arts and the School of Gospel, Jazz, and R&B Arts, Vi is the primary force behind her foundation's daily duties and its long-term goals. Mama Foundation for the Arts is a not-for-profit organization founded in 2000 that is dedicated to nurturing talented black youth in art and presenting, preserving, and promoting the history of our people and music. It's my pleasure and honor to welcome Ms. Vi Higginson. How you doing, Ms. Higginson?
Very pleasant. Good evening. Hello, everybody. Hi.
Hello, welcome to the show.
Hey, now.
Glad to have you on.
Thank you.
I was doing research, obviously as I do for each guest that comes on, and I watched the 60-minute special that you were on. And I mean, I thought I only watched some of it. I ended up watching the whole thing. It was really, really inspiring. So definitely want to talk about that a little bit later on. But, you know, like I said, you're very – very much a pioneer in your own right. Tell us how you first got involved in media anyway, got into media.
Well, I guess it started with my sister who said, gee, you got a really strange voice. So just stand up and she'd make me stand there and talk to her, you know, and just say anything. She just said, so that made me think, well, I guess maybe there's something different or special. Anyway, I went to broadcasting school and I wanted to do a show for women about beauty and fashion because I went to the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York. And then I took the tape up to Frankie Crocker and he hired me on the spot to be a radio personality. And I turned it down because I didn't know how to be no radio personality. But anyway, needless to say, that's what happened, and that's how I walked to the door, and that was my first job, and Frankie Grocco was the one that made that happen.
Wow. Well, let's talk about Mama Foundation for Arts. What made you decide to go that route, even to the nonprofit?
You know, it was really very funny. After spending years on radio and television and in the magazine business, I realized that, you know, how powerful music has been in our culture.
Yeah,
and with Mama I Wanna Sing, we had some very unusual opportunities. We had a chance to go to foreign countries and, you know, places like Istanbul and Turkey and Yugoslavia and Greece. And, you know, and I began to really have a level of appreciation for the music and the art form that was created in America and that's uniquely American. So I just realized that maybe we were taking our own music very casually and taking it for granted. And not, and I also felt that we were a little bit in danger of losing our art form and perhaps not even getting credit for the music that we've contributed to the American music scene. And you realize how much of an export that African American music really is to foreign countries, especially Europe and Japan.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, you go to Japan and they don't even know, some of them may even know the language, but they know every word to the songs. You know,
no question.
Yeah,
but no,
yeah. So,
let me just tell you one thing about Japan. They know English because they don't let you know they know English. Or they may be a little shy about it, but, you know, they get English starting in the second grade.
Oh, great. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And also what you should know is that they have schools of gospel where they have 700 students. Housewives and business people and young people learning our art form.
So
when you ask why did I start the Mama Foundation for the Arts, you know, if they have such a high regard and it makes them feel good all over, how could we possibly forget who we are and where we come from musically? So that's
just
why we started the Mama Foundation.
Just for those who don't really know, tell us a little bit what's significant of gospel music, especially in the black community.
Well, you know, the way I kind of view what gospel music, you know, is and was, and it depends on, how far back you want to go, because gospel, you know, Thomas Dorsey, they talked about how the music, the spiritual music was combined with, you know, the music that was played in the clubs. And so that had a different sound in the beat. But, you know, the early spirituals was designed to communicate. And when we couldn't do anything else, we could sing. So we were able to pass our messages on through our music. But it was also part of, you know, something happens to the brain when you sing. And so it was also the bridge over troubled waters for us. So, you know, our music, you know, of our ancestors were really a survival. It was you know, the lyrics and the sounds were part of our survival.
Absolutely. And so then you went on to develop gospel for teens, which, from my understanding, in the beginning was more about preserving the gospel music and, you know, having it, you know, brought out through the teens who participated. But then it became more like a mentorship kind of program for at-risk students in many ways. Tell us about that. Gospel for teens, and when you realized it was more than just a choir for teens.
Well, you know, what really happens, and I'm really sincere about that. I get very little time.
Mm-hmm.
I have 2 hours I get with each class, and we have 3 classes on a Saturday: freshman, advanced, and before me, before live audiences.
Right.
And in that 2 hours, there's zero tolerance for nonsense. You know, either you're coming to get what I have to give you, because I have such little time to give it to you, but if you don't want it, it's okay, go ahead, because somebody else will take your seat. So the program is really based on your willingness to learn about your music and your history. And if you're not willing, then, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. Now, So there's not a lot of time to deal with that other part of you. I really want that musical part of you,
right,
you know,
yeah.
And the child that, you know, hears music, you know, and is different from other kids who hear science and math and, you know, and I want to recognize that genius in us that's musical.
Right.
So I don't get a lot of time for the other stuff. So I insist that they take that time for themselves. Look, you got baggage, I got baggage, we all got baggage, we all got a story, you know, we may be motherless, we may be fatherless, we may be any of those guys. I said, leave it for a minute.
Right.
You can pick it up when you go back out, but while you're in here, let's not have it. You know,
yeah.
But there are occasions, you know, you can feel the energy of your children. You can understand how you can even shift that energy when it needs to be. But in order for healing to take place, you have to operate at least within a space that it's possible to happen.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Yes, occasionally it comes in because you hear it. Somebody will say, as you saw on the 60 Minutes piece, you know, I'm sad because I, you know, my cousin got shot in the face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's like, Jesus, you know, we are really living in a society that has a lot of this violence.
Yeah, yeah. What was interesting to me, you know, like you said, that you, I saw in the clip, in the piece that you tell everyone, leave the bags at the door when you come into the classroom.
Right.
You know, and I understand the importance of that, especially being in a two-hour time frame, you have to get work done. But then that one time you asked the class, you didn't want them to leave the baggage. You wanted them to sing it out. And I remember you asking how many people had lost someone within a year. And almost the whole class raised their hand.
It was amazing. Stunning.
Oh, my gosh.
It was scary how prevalent
almost
it's just
the whole
you,
class. And this is 40-some students, kids, right?
Absolutely, 47 students.
47.
I mean, you know, you just reduce to tears. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And if so, for any reason that there was any relief by coming through that door, you know, what I hear the kids say the most, I said, why you come here? They feel safe.
Because they auditioned to be in this group.
Absolutely.
They audition. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I know the one young lady, you know, you kind of felt something was up with her, but you really didn't know what it was. Your first instinct was kind of let her go, but you decided to keep her. And completion of the program, she sent you a letter.
Nah.
Thank you.
Was that amazing?
Thank you. I mean, because she, he or she had a home living situation that wasn't the best, but she knew that she could come to this and, you know, get the love and the support and the fellowship, really, that she wasn't getting at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was your reaction when you got that letter from her?
My reaction was stunned, actually. I was really stunned by that.
Yeah.
And I was also relieved that we had made a good decision, a good choice, that there was something deeper going on inside there, you know, and it was worthy, you know, to explore.
Do you think that although you may not do counseling, you know, quote-unquote counseling with each student, but by them being in the program, is that a way of them escaping from their, you know, their day-to-day, you know, their reality?
Yes, and I believe that it's also the power of the lyrics
and
the power of the sound.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in the inspiration, the inhaling of the energy around, which is similar. So sometimes our kids who are musical feel like outcasts. They feel different because nobody pays attention. You know, they are paying attention to the other, you know, geniuses.
Athletes and,
exactly. And there they get stuck out there, and they seem like there they are with their headphones, you know what I mean? So, you know, so in here, they're surrounded by other people who are like them, and you don't seem so weird anymore.
Or you don't
seem so different. So, yes, there's a number of things that are happening simultaneously, which we have designed for that to take place, so that we create this little vacuum inside, so you can, of self-discovery. You know, we teach, let me just break this down for you, okay?
Okay.
We teach breathing, harmony, mm-hmm. pitch, and control.
Mm-hmm.
We teach that in music, and we teach it in life.
Yeah.
Those
yeah.
same elements, breathing, harmony,
mm-hmm.
pitch, and control. Getting along with yourself, getting along with
mm-hmm.
each other, how you
yeah.
talk to each other in your pitch and your tone, how you control your own behavior and don't react to every situation and every look or everything, you know, so you can
right.
you can have
right.
breathing, harmony, pitch, and control. So it's not enough. Talent is not enough.
Yeah.
You have
yeah.
to have technique, and you have to. So those are the things that we're operating in principles. We operate based on principles.
Right. How do you feel, or what's your attitude towards parents who, I know because there are some teens in the piece who, their parents didn't come to one rehearsal, didn't come to the final performance that you all do. And, I mean, what is your attitude towards those parents that obviously could care less?
Well, you know, there are things you can do something about and things you can't do things about.
Right, right.
You need to know the difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are going to be who they are. If you
yeah.
have a dysfunctional family or you have a disinterested parent, that's who they are. Now, only thing you can do, can't change them, but you can change your reaction to them.
Right.
And that's
right.
how we respond. So we don't have to deal with them. We deal with the child alone and deal with the child and help them to understand that it's up to them to make the appropriate choices and know the difference between the two.
I also thought what touched me was how I think in a way, well, in many ways, that you're building self-confidence because early on in the piece that I saw that the kids, when you had them all stand around to say their full name and where they were from,
mm-hmm.
they were mumbling. They were like ashamed to say their name.
With
not sing in front of everyone, say mm-hmm. their name and where they're from.
Right.
But by the end, they got it.
They got it. That's a beautiful thing to watch, that transformation, you see.
Mm-hmm. Because you see something, you see a change happen in each of the kids that you work with. You see
yeah.
something. Yeah, yeah.
That's a great joy.
Well,
you know, it's a personal joy, and it's a joy for them, too.
Mm, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Simple
and
accomplishment.
And they take on about their life, right, yeah. And the gospel teams, I'm telling you, they are dynamic. They can sing. They can sing. They have some all-stars. And they can, I mean, I was watching, I got emotional watching them perform over TV. You know? And obviously, you know, you all won awards. You won the Verizon How Sweet the Sound and the Pathmark Gospel Competition, obviously being featured on CBS's 60 Minutes. What does it mean for the teams and for you on a personal level to be recognized for all the hard work that you all put in?
Wow. You know, the truth of the matter is it really is dazzling a little bit. You know, it's jaw-dropping almost.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a level of almost like, okay, you're doing this because you know it has to be done, or that you personally get the satisfaction
mm-hmm.
of watching this transformation. And then when you realize that other people
mm-hmm.
can connect with that,
right.
it brings a deep sense of satisfaction and joy.
Yeah.
You know, there were people who we've been doing this work for a while now, and
mm-hmm.
some of my closest friends said, I had no idea. I
right.
thought you was up there doing something with some kids, but I didn't understand what it was. You know, until they saw it on 60 Minutes, and I get it, you know. So
mm-hmm.
it sometimes it's just hard to explain in words, and so I'm really grateful to 60 Minutes for digging
yeah.
way down into, you know, because they followed us for a year, you know.
Oh, did they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. You know, I was glad to see that story being told because, you know, I used to work in the urban city and very poverty-stricken area in Virginia,
mm-hmm.
and it was nothing for the kids to do.
Nothing.
It was nothing for them. I mean, that's why they were having, you know, getting pregnant and
hitting each other in the head.
Right, because there was nothing to
do.
And to show that there is something, that there are people out there like yourself trying to create something, you know, especially something, because like you said, as a young singer, there's not always anything you can do to express that, you know.
Right.
But because of Gospel for Teens and the Mama Foundation, they can do that.
Yeah.
So I thought that the fact that 60 Minutes, you know, did that piece, that was very powerful for me watching that.
Yeah,
let me ask you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just was going to say, you know, after a while, you just get kind of tired of watching our children walking off to jail and in body bags and the
mm-hmm.
poorest of images, and that doesn't bespeak of all of who we are as a people.
Exactly.
And, you know, it was so powerful to see 60 Minutes look at the faces of these young people
yep.
who are faced with all kinds of societal situations
mm-hmm.
and home and school issues and a great deal of pressure upon them to produce and achieve, you know, and yet,
right, yeah.
you know, and yet to see them doing something with passion and joy and hearing something that can inspire and uplift them in the lyrics that they're singing. We just had to balance
mm-hmm.
that musical menu a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I want to ask you, tell us about the theme for Gospel for Teens and why you chose that particular song.
You know, it's really funny. I took a course in a seminary. I went to seminary, and one of the teachers brought in this song, and they played it before the actual class began.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself, when I heard that song, tearing up. And I thought, Jesus, what's with this song?
Wow.
You know, and then a couple of years later, I asked, what was that song? And I realized that so many of these young people needed to hear this, whether they come out of houses where there's abuse or boyfriends or teachers. So many people put our kids down and tell them they ain't nothing and never going to be nothing, and they're going to be just like their daddy or some other loser.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that lyric spoke to my heart. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you're anything less than beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let anybody ever tell you you are less than whole. Child, that thing. And when these kids, so that's our theme song.
Right,
so
yeah.
as we begin to build on these lyrics and on this evidence of, you know, when you see it and when you hear it, you don't have to suck it in, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, so that's why I chose that song, and that's why they embrace that, you know, and they sing it at every concert. We've got a concert coming up to our Harlem
right.
Holiday Benefit concert. Yeah, that's coming
okay.
up
okay.
on December 9th. So they're all in preparation for that right now, boy. They so funny.
I better get right.
Oh, yeah. They, oh, God. They're on the edge of their chairs, you know. It's a beautiful thing, you know.
Yeah.
So
when a teenager moves on from Gospel for Teens, what is the biggest lesson you want them to take away?
You know, the biggest lesson, there's a couple of things that we stand on. We talk, you know, principles we stand on. First of all, that talent is not enough.
Mm.
Don't care how smart you are.
Mm.
There's no substitute for hard work.
It's true.
You have to put the work in, you know. And in terms of and talent, the raw talent is wonderful, but it must be supported by
yeah,
technique.
Yeah.
We have to appreciate and understand technique. And I guess, with, you know, like the third and final thing, that 90% of it is showing up.
Right.
Alert, alive, and enthusiastic. Just show up, you know. So, and a lot of times, you know how hard it is for some people to just show up on time.
Just show up.
Right.
That's, I agree. That's 90% of it, showing up.
Showing up.
Well, you've achieved so much so far in, you know, so far in your lifetime. And obviously you have touched the lives of teens in New York and New Jersey. I mean, what do you want your legacy to be?
What am I moving? That I guess I guess I would say, I used to close my broadcast with saying, you know, you lose some of the time what you go after, but you lose all the time what you don't go after.
That's true.
And
that's true.
I believe that the success or failure of any product, service, people, or idea depends upon the ability to communicate effectively.
Mm.
So, you know, so communications or an effort to communicate, I think, is worthy.
Wow. Wow. Well, listen, I just really, really want to thank you for coming on tonight and sharing all that's going on with Mother Foundation and for Arts and for Gospel for Teens. And I want to wish you all much success on December 9th at the holiday concert and in everything that you do. And I really appreciate you for doing what you do for teens who I think don't have a voice sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for coming on and sharing that story with us.
Well, I'm really happy to be here, and I just want to invite you and your audience not only to the gospel concert, but these teens are the next generation. And this next generation is in Mama, I Want to Sing, which is right here in Harlem every Saturday. Two shows,
wow.
1 and 4:30. So I invite
wow.
you and the listening audience, you want to see something. You want to see somebody burn up the stage with energy and passion. You got to see the next generation of Mama, I Want to Sing. It really
I'm going to have to get out there and see it because I'm telling you,
they're bad.
They're bad
now.
They do their thing.
So make sure you come on or, you know, check us out on the website, mambafoundation.org.
Okay, mambafoundation.org. And we'll put that link on our website and our Facebook page. But I want to thank you again, and you have a great night, okay?
Okay, thank you for your time.
All right.
Okay, bye.
We'll be right back after these messages.
BET, home of some of the greatest shows, such as Monique, Let's Stay Together, The Game, Steve Harvey, Everybody Hates Chris, Master Mix, and many more. BET is also famously known for their featured blog sites such as Spotlight, What the Flick, Stay Tuned, Head Over Heels, Sound Off, and a wide variety of others. So the next time you're flipping through your channels, tell a friend to tell a friend about BET and BET's video library. Also, don't forget to catch the countdown on 106 in Park with Roxy and Terrence. Do you want your chance? You feel as if you got what it takes? Or just want to read and catch up on BET news? Tune in to www.bet.com or send your thoughts and opinions through mail to BET Network, 1235 W Street, Northeast, Washington, D.C., 20018-1211, or phone BET Network at 202-608-2000. This commercial was brought to you by EOTM Radio and Classic City Records.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. I want to give another shout-out to Ms. Higginson for being on tonight. And I want to encourage anyone, if you're in the New Jersey, New York area, to go check out these teenagers. They are amazing, like amazing. You can check them out by going to mamafoundation.org. There's a link on our Facebook page. Ms. Parker, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. I was actually trying to figure out when did their episode air on 60 Minutes. You know I'm a huge 60 Minutes fan.
Oh, yeah, this was back in May.
It was back in May. Oh, okay.
I actually have the link, and I'll send it to you. I'll
okay.
actually put it on our Facebook page. I mean, it was a really, really inspiring story. So definitely check out Mama Foundation and Gospel for Teens. You'll be touched by it. But now
okay.
it's time to go on to Stephen's playlist. We receive music from people all over the country who want to be featured during the segment. Each week we will select artists to play on our playlist. Tonight our playlist features songs of both major and independent artists, including many of the artists that we had on last week when we did our show on how hip-hop has influenced our culture. Some of them we didn't have their music prior to the show, but we have it on tonight, and you definitely want to check it out. I've listened to all of it. It's really good. And if you're interested in being featured, you know, make sure you email us at thestevenknightshow@gmail.com, attach one or two songs, your bio, and one or two promotional pictures. All songs must be edited for radio, so no cursing. We look forward to hearing from you.
Sorry, I lost my signal there for a second. My my phone was acting up.
That's okay.
I may have had it on mute. You know, my phone does whatever it wants to, so I apologize.
No, no problem at all. Well, the first song is by Sasha Kai, who was on our show. I got her name right. So, entitled Sky Blue Melody. Check it out and enjoy Steven's playlist.
Sky Blue Melody. Yeah. Freedom is the ability to move and be. No boundaries, no holdbacks, no chains. A day in the life for the regular. Allow me to introduce greatness. Get it, huh? Get it soon, get it day, get it right, get it straight. Know that anything given can be taken away. And if you can air walk in my Nikes, you would probably view life just like me. I really ain't no telling what tomorrow just might be. I'm just trying to hit them high notes in the right key. And I don't mean dreams fall settle. I mean that dream that'll get you far from the ghetto. Far from the settle of poverty's lower level. Yeah. Even when my feet start slipping from the pedal, I am my own hero, so I must get better. My direction is up to the sky forever, and I stay. Window, and notice you can move wherever the wind blow. And this is real talk, this is no pretend flow. Related in your bloodline, moving through your kinfolk. And could it be that it's oh so simple? We have the ability to choose our tempo. Whether you choose the blues or the yellow, this is your opportunity to cruise at a level. No more slow dance grinds with the devil. Spread both your wings, glide like a sparrow. Open your eyes and fly to the sky, hello. Freedom is the ability to move, no Geppetto. Fall from the saddle of poverty's lower level. And even when my feet start slipping from the pedal, I am my own hero, so I must get better. My direction is up to the sky forever, and I stay.
Hands up in the air. I just want the baddest bitch in the world right here on my lap. And I'ma hit this drink up like it's my last. I'ma hit this night up like it's my last. I'ma hit this ass up like it's my last. I swear I'ma do it like I never had it at
you give. You know that one that always needs to be given in. I used to say if I could paint a perfect picture that love would be the painting, but the colors that I'm using been the wrong combination. The ending always abstract, so I'm contemplating, and I guess I got you waiting, but I'm hearing that you're dating. You know I like a little competition. Ha, I outmaneuver any opposition. Done, and in the end, you know it's me that's winning. Until then, I let you know when. Wrong. You thought that I would never learn. Now you asking where I've been, like I ain't been left. And when I see you, why you acting like you ain't been stressed? I tell you what, I keep it real. You know I wanna get back, but not until you show me that as well. Cause I ain't with that. Make up to break up, argue then wake up. Flowers to Jacob, trips to Jamaica. Man, I'll admit it, you know just how to spoil me. But I prefer the loyal over any royalty. Just like I want you over any other holding me. And on this topic, I'm thinking that we both agree. I'm ready.
Done it again. girl and your friends bad too. Oh, she got the swag, so she drippin' swag goo. You a bad girl and your friends bad too. Oh, she got the swag, so she drippin' swag goo. Oh,
I may be young, but I'm ready to kill you all, my love. I told my girl you can get it. Don't slow it down, just let it go. Go in love, I'll give it all away. Just don't tell nobody tomorrow.
Everything you think you want and it's not it. For me, it was my quest to be successful. It was all these things, and you know, Big had it locked and the West had it locked, and you know, everybody doing them, and I'm still scratching on the block like, damn, I'm gonna be a failure, surrounded by thugs, drugs and drug paraphernalia, cops, courts, all these things that I'm doing while these guys and everyone else is moving forward with their life. It's like watching this, watching them. And like, this can't be life. Like, this can't be my life forever.
I draw my stars into Mars and the pen's ink. My confidence, they couldn't borrow, like what I think. Could be the key to solving problems, knowledge I drink.
by the OZ foes freeze when I blink. So no, please don't beg for your own life. My mind games kill opponents with their own knife. Construct components of destruction by the moon's light. And once I reach the final level, I consume night. But big homie saying nah, show them no mercy. Premature burials, lace the ground early. Ripping the metal from the mic until the sound hurt me. Shaking the ground so when I round, make sure your town sturdy. I shimmy y'all like it raw, worth the old dirty. Just like my cousin bagged the raw, brought it back earthy. Color tones lace the wallets of the most thirsty. Young cat on his grind, get your cream early. But not a feline in the alley, let these rats scurry. Serve them like Thai restaurants with the red curry. No hurry, I decimate false prophets. Imp beam on the scene, showing why I got it. Hustle man, motto, get it while the get is good. The game is telling me I shouldn't when I know I should. Be the best, well-dressed, and the new craze. Throwing the rocks up high, meet the new J. Carving out sections of the earth to make a new way. The switch pass, I'm bad, LL Cool J. So when decision-making matters, I will always say I'd rather be underrated, still getting paid.
That's life, right? That's life for everybody. You know, we're all somewhere in between trying to, you know, achieve our dreams and goals and wondering, is this really my dream? Is this really what I want to do? Am I happy where I am? Did it cost me too much? Did it cost me my marriage? Did it cost me my kids? Did it cost, you know, like all these things that we all go through as human beings. It's just all in the music. It's all real emotions when you get down.
And to my loves, I will always share my wild thoughts. But to a love, I will never let my mind talk. Cause even on the light track, the content dark. A loud mind bass while the quiet mind hawks. Just like a silent gun kills but never shows sparks. The end is still the same, yellow tape and white chalk. I let my heart speak volumes like a true leader. It's you and I side to side like a two-seater. You see my faults within my lyrics like a proofreader. Saying for every king a crown and a few divas. But it's okay to play the clown when you a true speaker. Stay on the ball like Ronaldinho in some fresh sneakers. I'm staying lead with my philosophy for true believers. I love the game twice over, I can never leave her. So take a minute to inhale my success. 6 minutes on the clock, why yes, I'm up next.
Somebody else, I'm calling her your name.
Thank again, Vi Higginson for calling in and sharing on Gospel for Teens. Encourage everyone to check them out at mamasfoundation.org, especially if you're in the New York or New Jersey area.
Great interview. I'm definitely going to check out the 60 Minutes episode on the website.
So what do you have planned for the week?
Working.
I hear that.
Same old, same old.
Right. Well, all you at home, thanks again for tuning in, and God bless. Have a great week.
Have a great week, everybody.
Fresh and so clean, tonight it's all eyes on me. Everything's gonna be alright. And when we get there, I'ma see a pretty, pretty, pretty young thing. I'ma have her to take my hand, head to the floor, and we gon' dance. And when we get there, best believe we're gonna do what you said. Ain't no drawing here, so don't stress. Step to the right, then